Hello, good morning everyone. Today is February 14, Valentine's Day 2020, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, sponsored by the women, Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church in Los Angeles, California. I'm Josie Santa Ana, your moderator this morning, and I'm moderating from Glendale, California. I'm reading from Psalms 5:3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And from the Spirit of Prophecy quote, My Life Today, page 15, paragraph 2. The very first outbreathing of the soul in the morning should be for the presence of Jesus. Without me, he says, you can do nothing. It is Jesus that we need, his light, his spirit must be ours continually. We need him every hour. And we should pray in the morning that as the sun illuminates the landscape and fills the world with light, so the sun of righteousness may shine into the chambers of mind and heart and make us all light in the world. We cannot do without this presence one moment. The enemy knows when we undertake to do without our Lord, and he is there, ready to fill our minds with his evil suggestions, that we may fall from the steadfastness. But it is the desire of the Lord that from moment to moment we should abide in him, and thus be complete in him. Okay, and our speaker this morning is Sister Pat Sheppard. And I'm going to give a short bio on Sister Pat. Keep on losing my... Okay, Sister Pat is a medical missionary. Let me see. Speaking of health, she is known as she's a servant of the Lord in the capacity of a medical missionary. Her duties in the God-supported Bible health ministry include but are not limited to promoting faith in God, teaching the word about the soon coming Savior, and proclaiming mankind's right to physical, mental, spiritual healing through health reform. All of Sister Pat's credentials are heaven approved. While a student of the great physician Jesus Christ, she has sat at his feet since 1999 in an intense study of health and the gospel, according to the word of God and spirit of prophecy. As a faithful ambassador of health, Sister Pat showcases the exalted preeminence of biblical health principles along with using the practical modalities of healing ordained by heaven, profiling the head and not the tail of true medical science. When it comes to women's health, Sister Pat has an extreme passion for the complete comprehensive care of women from infancy to seniors. This is fulfilled in several areas of her ministry, such as medical missionary training, pregnancy, childbirth, and midwifery, education and services, health lectures, personal consultations, therapeutic services, publications, and more. This has been and is Sister Pat's mission. God bless you, Sister Pat. Okay, Sister Lilian, can you give us, please, our opening prayer, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning, thanking you that Sister Pat is able to share a message with all of us. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to be with her on her mission to Africa and the other things that she is asked to do. We know that you are with her as she, by faith, goes forward. We also pray for Sister Sheila, who is in the hospital, Lord, that your presence will be close to her, that your angels will be around her. And we think of Brother Ron, who's had a stroke, is in the hospital in Mississippi. We know, dear God, that Satan does not want his voice to be so pointed as he gave a message on Tuesday. But we recognize that you are there in the hospital with your angels around him. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for answered prayer in bringing him back to us on this line. We ask, dear God, that you will be with the prodigals, that they will come back to you, that we know that they are in the world, but they do not recognize the pig pen that they are in. Help them, Lord, to recognize where they are and come back to their Heavenly Father. There are so many requests on this line, Heavenly Father, and we thank you and we praise you for this prayer line that has expanded to 60 countries throughout the world. We also thank you for the privilege of being able to share literature, little tracts and books. As they are given away, we recognize that it is your spirit that draws the people to truth in this wicked world. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to you with these requests, knowing that you are in charge of everything, the creator of all, and that you are soon sending your son for the saints on this earth. We ask these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Lailin, for that beautiful prayer. Sister Pat?
Good morning, Sister Josie. Good morning, prayer line saint. I was talking.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, once again, good morning and happy preparation day to all. This is the day that the Lord has given us to prepare before his Sabbath. And the devil has created a holiday which God's people shouldn't have anything to do with because it is pagan. But I thank God that he is preparing his people to enter into his rest as the Sabbath approaches. We're praying, most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, thanking you once again for being God of the universe. There's no other God likened unto you. We thank you for your love towards us, Lord. Every day you share your love with us. Every day we are to share love to you and to all our neighbors. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, where we have fallen short. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Once again, good morning to the saints of the Most High. And oftentimes Jesus spoke in parables when he was amongst the people. And then there were times when he spoke very plainly. His disciples spoke also of the necessity of using plainness of speech. So this morning, I have a burden of my heart on the subject that I am going to share. It's something that I think that we all, as God's people looking for the second coming, must consider. This morning's topic is entitled Parenting. How many children was on the ark? Again, parenting. How many children was on the ark?
done.
Can you imagine this world without children? What would it be like? Simply, you and I would not be here if this was so. Unimaginable. God could not and did not when he gave the command to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to be fruitful and multiply. He couldn't imagine it either. Even God gave them the command to have children. Now, although they didn't have children in the garden, after the fall, they had children. Although children derive life and being from their parents, yet it is through the creative power of God that your children have life. For God is the life giver. Let us not forget that. Every child born is the property of God. It's not yours. You're a steward over that child. Your child is not your own. You cannot do with him or her as you like, for he or she is the property of the Lord, as spoken in Psalms 127:3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. As I mentioned, the title, Parenting. How many children within the ark? This topic came to me as I read chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. I was reading chapter 1, written by the wisest man who ever lived. He was also a preacher. He called himself a preacher. In verse 12, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And in chapter 1, he reminds us to pay a close attention to that which has passed. He says in verse 9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. I know we've heard this before. Oh, there's nothing new under the sun. Verse 15, whatever exists now has already been, and whatever will be has already been, for God will seek to do again what has occurred in the past. So as we look at history, history is a teacher. History always repeats itself, and we know during the patriarchal time, there was a flood. In Great Controversy, page 343, it says, the work of God in the earth presents from age to age a striking similarity in every great reformation or religious movement. The principles of God dealing with men are ever the same. The important movements of the present have their parallel in those of the past. And the experience of the church in former ages has lessons of great value for our own time. Again, that's Great Controversy, page 343. In essence, the flood was a type of an end of the world. And God says the world is coming to an end again. Hence, we need to know what happened in the past. It's beginning to see if our lives are on target, especially as parents. If not, we must ask ourselves, how do we line up with history presently and for the future? Because again, I ask you, how many children were in the ark? I know some of you all have already answered, but we're going to find out. It says in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 706, Whenever the people of God are growing in grace, they will be constantly obtaining a clear understanding of His Word. Has that been your experience along through your Christian growth, brothers and sisters? We should be constantly learning new things. There should be light constantly breaking upon our understanding. A lot of people today are afraid of new light, but the only direction for growth is new development of truth and new light. Also, in Testimonies to the Church, continuing, she said, I've been shown that many who profess to have a knowledge of present truth know not what they believe. They do not understand the evidence of their faith. They have no just appreciation of the work for the present time. When the time of trial shall come, there are men now preaching to others who will find upon examining the positions they hold that there are many things for which they can give no satisfactory reason. I get a call recently from a young lady. My number was given to her. She called me and she said, hello, my name is so-and-so. And she said, your number was given to me and I'm pregnant. This is my first time being pregnant. And I just want to know, what do you share or what do you do? And then I said to her, and she also said, and since this is my first baby, I am planning to have my baby at the hospital. And I said with her, okay. I said, so what would you like to hear from me? And then I kind of retracted and I said, so what type birth are you planning to have? And she said, a natural birth. And I said, but I thought you just said you were going to have a hospital birth. And I said, there's nothing natural in the hospital about having a baby. I said, from Genesis to Revelation, can you show me where God says babies should be born in the hospital? And she began to listen, and I said, you know, there's liberty in choosing, but God even tells us what to choose. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, I put before you life and death. But he gives us the answer. And I said, from the beginning, God is the designer of pregnancy and childbirth, so he gave his people the way they should have babies. And I said, so you've chosen another way? And she said, huh? I said, so you said God doesn't know anything about childbirth, so you're going to man to seek man's way. And then she, after 35 minutes of sharing with her, she said, okay, Sister Pat, my husband and I, we've been praying. I didn't even know this existed, God's way. And she said, what do we need to do to employ your services? Now, I'm not sharing this because of what she said, but many of our people do not know that God has a way when it comes to pregnancy, childbirth, even parenting. We go to Google, we go to the world, but as a result of that, I just sowed some seeds. I get another call this week. Somebody heard me on a prayer line, and they said, hi, so we hear you do midwifery. So what do you do in the case of emergency? I said, I have the best emergency physician. He has never lost a case. He has never transported to the hospital, and his name is Jesus. So I work for him. So I said, that's what we do in case of emergency. And they said, okay, have a nice day. Now, these were supposedly believers. But again, when we call upon the name of God, and we say we are his children, then we should follow his ways. Now, again, I say parenting. How many children were on the ark? I'm going somewhere. First of all, we need to know God says be fruitful and multiply, but then he allowed the earth to be destroyed and everybody on it. Why was there a flood? In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 90, it says, in the days of Noah, a double curse was resting upon the earth in consequence of Adam's transgression and of the murder committed by Cain. Yet this had not greatly changed the face of nature. There were evident tokens of decay, but the earth was still rich and beautiful in the gifts of God's providence. The hills were crowned with majestic trees. The fruits of the earth were in great variety and almost without limit. So the creation that God had made was still beautiful. Why would God, even after sin, destroy his beautiful creation? It's that the human race retained much of its early vigor, but a few generations had passed since Adam had access to the tree, which was to prolong life, and man's existence was still measured by centuries. We know before the flood, people lived up to 900 years. Nobody reached 1,000. Why was there a flood? The flood came because of disobedience. The record says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Simply, the daughters of men were Cain's descendants. Cain left the presence of God, so he went into the world, and he raised a generation. He raised children to know of his rebellion, and he passed that on to his children, his daughters. And the sons of God, which were self-descendants, they were following the commandments of God. However, they began to mix, mingle, and marry one another. Hence, this greatly angered God. Remember, the patriarchal system was the true church system at the time. The mixing of God's people with worldly people is forbidden in all ages. Have we forgotten that? And I hear this from young people all the time. Well, the men in the church are just as bad as the men outside in the world. At least the men out in the world, they're not proclaiming anything. Yes, that may be true, but God's word is true in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christian with Belial? If you say you're a child of God, why then would you yoke up and get married to someone who wants to do nothing, have nothing to do with your God? You're asking for trouble. But many of us have done that. Now, many of us may have come in the truth after we had gotten married. But I thank God for his reformation that's available to us. We can become new creatures. But in continuing, so many of the Sethites, the true church people, did not survive the flood. Why? Disobedience cost them their lives, brothers and sisters. How many of them died? A lot died. However, there were only people that got on that ark. How many were children? Zero. No children got on the ark, a type of the end of the world. And in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, becoming parents, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." How many children in these last days will be getting on the ark of safety before Christ comes? Noah was a patriarch, son of Lamech. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Each had wives, and it didn't say they had children. So they were grown, they were married, but they had no children. The eight of them were all that were on the ark. None of the descendants of Cain were on the ark. From Noah's three sons, the whole earth is populated and repopulated until today. And we could say that the whole world is one family from Seth, the third son of Adam. All are brothers and sisters from Noah. So all of us are products. After the flood, we became children, and we've had our children. Now, I said, "Lord, there were no children on the ark. Why?" Well, in reading Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 10, this popped out in my reading. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been for old time, which was before us." So what thing kept children out off of the ark? You know, when we think of children, they are so curious. They are so naive. Now, when they saw animals, the 2x2 and the 7 going on the boat, on the ark, do you think their curiosity was piqued? Oh, yes. But if it was not, why wasn't it? And that's why in verse 10, see, is there anything where it may be said, see, this is new? Well, I'm here to present something to you that you may think is new, but is not new, and a type was during before the flood. Do you know what occurred in 2012, brothers and sisters? What big event happened in 2012? Well, I'm going to share with you. Many of you may be familiar and some of you may not. In 2012, this thing called Facebook, the community, went global. Yes, Facebook, a platform for deception, a tool that Satan delights in. In 2012, Facebook went global. And for the first time in modern history, a digital global community was formed. Now, did they have Facebook before the flood? It says, see, this is new. No. It says, it has been already. Some type of global digital community was happening back in the patriarchal time before the flood. Do you know with Facebook, everyone in the privacy of their home is now a reporter. Facts no longer matter. Things are posted that cannot be verified, which speed along causing lifetime damages to other people's lives. Marriages are being broken up by people in your past that contact you. And we call Facebook a tool to preach what Noah preached? Not so, brethren. You know, for many decades, it is known that Russia was a master of disinformation. Had a Russian company started a digital platform such as Facebook, every American tech and company would have warned its people not to engage with it. But not so with Facebook here in USA. Knowing the potential, Russia seized the opportunity. It took hold of the Facebook platform and effectively used it to further its aim. Overthrowing democracy in America has been Russia's great aim, but now an American company has opened the door to that possibility. The disinformation project was now on. Facebook, social media, Twitter, Instagram, has become the lifeblood. Most people in the world, even professed Christians, hours out of every day is spent on this platform with all manner of foolishness being shared and reshared amongst its users. And I always hear the brethren say, oh, but no, I just put things about God. God does not mix with evil. But here we have from Great Controversy, page 1888, Great Controversy. Satan invents unnumbered schemes to occupy our minds. Facebook. And did you know that the owner of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, wrote in Time magazine that he wants the whole world? He has, I think there are about 7 billion in the world, and I think he had about 3 billion in that article, but he said he wants the whole world. And where do we remember hearing that? In Revelation 13, if you turn there with me, see, Satan doesn't play. He wants to take everyone. And in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, it says he causes all. Is everyone going to be accepting the mark, the image? No, not those that are written in the true book of life, the true book of remembrance, or the true book of deeds. The angels are recording. They are the reporters. And brothers and sisters, we have succumbed as God's remnant people to Satan's unnumbered schemes. And I'll tell you, that's one reason why children did not get on the ark back then, because their minds were occupied. Instead of parents educating them, parents, I see it all the time, parents to not be bothered with the children. I have seen as young as 15 months, they cry for the mother's phone. The mother gives them the phone. Then the children even know how to use the phones, these smart, dumb phones. Then I saw this 15-month-old go to, I think, YouTube. He put on a cartoon. And I was amazed. And then he was just all enthralled with the what he was watching. Why didn't the children get on the ark? Because we put before these things, these gadgets, to keep them occupied. But how many can repeat scripture? I'm continuing reading from Great Controversy. It says, the arch deceiver hates the great truths that bring to view an atoning sacrifice and an all-powerful mediator. Those who would share the benefit of the Savior's meditation should permit nothing to interfere with their duty to perfect holiness in the fear of God. The precious hours, instead of being given to pleasure, to display, or to gain seeking, should be devoted to an earnest, prayerful study of the Word of Truth. How many of us know what is upon us today? Do we know what the waymarks are to heaven and back? We're in 2020. What is the next waymark that is before us? The image of the beast. How many of us are prepared for that? Let me read you something. Did you know that there's a time of trouble before probation closes? You know, we hear of a probation such as never before, but did you know that there is a probation, a time of trouble before probation closes? I'm reading. On page 33 of Early Writings is given the following. I saw that the Holy Sabbath is and will be the separating wall between the true Israel of God and unbelievers, and that the Sabbath is the great question to unite the hearts of God's dear waiting saints. I saw that God had children who do not see and keep the Sabbath. So here it says, God's got children out here who don't see or keep the Sabbath. They have not rejected the light, and at the commencement of the time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost as we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully. So this is before probation closed. There's going to be a time of trouble. And we, as God's people, are we sharing this third angel's message? It says this view was given in 1847 when there were but a few of the Advent brethren observing the Sabbath. And of these, but few supposed that its observance was of significant importance. Do we truly understand what the image of the beast is? Well, I'll tell you in 7 BC, page 976. This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. How many of us are ready for the image of the beast test? But if we don't know what it is, if we as parents don't know what it is, then how are our children going to know what it is? Still reading. How many of us know the subject of the sanctuary and the investigative judgment should be clearly understood by the people of God? All need a knowledge of themselves, of the position and work of their great high priest. We are now on the chart at 2020, but the image of the beast is coming. And then next is the number of the beast, and then the mark of the beast, and then Christ stands up, and then probation closes, and then we have the seven plagues. How many of us are following the way marked? Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4, we will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth. How many of us are running after reading what the vision is? Because, brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. And many of God's professed people back in the patriarchal time didn't get on the ark. Why? Because they were building their homes. They were having more children and not asking God, should they have children? And then having children, they were not educating their children in the Lord. But God had a servant, Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of these things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How many of us are preparing that ark of safety to save our household? You know, many at first during that time appeared to receive the warning, yet they did not turn to God with true repentance. You know, I hear some people say, yeah, I'm one of those who will say, Lord, don't come yet. I'm not ready for you to come. Because we have too many idols, be it our children, be it our husband, be it our home, be it whatever. It says the men of that generation were not at all in the fullest acceptation of the term. They were idolaters. And if we keep Valentine's Day, we are in the same state as they were. We are idolaters because Valentine's Day is a pagan holiday. And we're supposed to be Christians and not pagans. Many of us profess, like them in the past, to be worshipers of God. They claim their idols, I'm reading from Patriarchs and Prophets, history repeats itself, were representations of the deity. And that's what Cupid is supposed to be, a representation of the deity. And that through them, the people could obtain a clear conception of the divine being. Somebody sent me something about February being the month of love. I said, where do we get that from? Every day, every month is love because God is love. And every day we're supposed to read 1 Corinthians 13. How many children were on the ark? Zero. This class were foremost in rejecting the preaching of Noah. You know, many times we think that time is our time. The value of time. Do we really know the value of time? Ecclesiastes 3:17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Ecclesiastes 7:17, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? You know, there's a breakdown of the family is where all our problems start. And it is here where the cure for society must be wrought, brothers and sisters. In the crisis in Egypt, before the Exodus, the people had to come into harmony with divine instructions. The directions that Moses gave concerning the Passover feast are full of significance and an application to parents and children in this age of the world. The father back then was to act as the priest of the household. And if the father was dead, the eldest son living was to perform the solemn act of sprinkling the doorpost with blood. This is a symbol of the work to be done in every family. Parents are to gather their children into the home and to present Christ before them as their Passover. How many of our children are more interested in games on the phone or on the TV or TV shows versus Christ our Savior, our mediator. The Father is to dedicate every inmate of his home to God and to do a work that is represented by the feast of the Passover. It is perilous to leave the solemn duty in the hands of others. We think only when we bring our children to Sabbath school, the Sabbath school teacher will teach them everything they need to know. No, we think the preacher, when we come to church and we're just churched, we're not keeping the Sabbath, we're just observing it. And God says, remember to keep it holy. Let Christians resolve that they will be loyal to God and let them gather their children into their homes with them and strike the doorposts with blood, representing Christ as the only one who can shield and save. Our children need to be brought into the ark of safety or they will not be saved. And as parents, we will not be saved. One who can shield and save is Christ, that the destroying angel may pass over the cherished circle of the household. Let the world see that a more than human influence is at work in the homes, brothers and sisters. And if you are not a parent yet, and you have not sought the instructions that God has before you become a parent, I encourage you, don't do it, because it says it is a sin if you become a parent and do not know what responsibilities come with it. It says, let parents maintain a vital connection with God, set themselves on Christ's side, and show by His grace what great good may be accomplished through parental agency. Brothers and sisters, we need to place high value on our time because it's short. I was reading from Adventist Home, page 324. And summing up, as time passed on, you know, during the patriarchal time before the flood, people were saying, oh, it's never rained. And now, you know, we have people now with climate change, and that's what we are all focusing on. But brothers and sisters, we're focusing on the wrong thing. It is Jesus, Him crucified. And we are to be carrying this message, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The period of probation is about to expire. It expired for those, the antediluvians. It's about to expire on us, brothers and sisters. Noah had faithfully followed the instructions which he had received from God. How many of us have followed the instructions? How many of us are proclaiming that Christ is coming? We are warning the people not to accept the mark, the image. God has given us His word that we may become acquainted with His teachings and know for ourselves what He requires of us. He has given us a chart pointing out every waymark on our heavenward journey, and He ought, and we don't need to guess at anything. That is Great Controversy 598. If we disregard the guide board that God has given us and take whatever road seems to be right to us, even we may be so sincere, but will in all probability find ourselves on the wrong road. We've been following another guide board, especially in parenting. We look to the world. We have other the world teaching our children, and it says all our children should be taught of the Lord, and we expect our children to get on the ark when we send them to worldly schools. And even in homeschool, we wonder why after we homeschool our children, then we send them to the world to go to college. I don't understand that. But in closing, this was a solemn message, and it touched me, brothers and sisters. Child Guidance, page 234. This is a warning note. God always warns before he does. Blind parental affection is the greatest obstacle in the way of the proper training of children. Blind parental affection. It prevents the discipline and training which is required by the Lord. At times, because of this affection, parents seem to be bereft of their reason. It is like the tender mercies of the wicked, cruelty disguised in the garb of so-called love. It is the dangerous undercurrent which carries children to ruin, blind parental affection. Again, that's Child Guidance, page 234. And no, it is no easy matter to train and educate our children wisely. As parents try to keep judgment and the fear of the Lord before them, difficulties will arise. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, for a Savior. It is a tough world that we live in, but God has great plans for those who would be willing to hear his instructions. And there are so many people right in our own personal circle, people who need our help, who don't know. I'm amongst brethren who don't even know the third angel's message, who don't know what the mark of the beast is, who don't know what 666 is. We can make a difference, not only in their lives, but in our homes, in our children's lives. But if we don't know what it is, how then can we teach what we don't know? Mothers, take your rightful position as a loving teacher of your children. Remember that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that moves the world. We're praying. Father in heaven, we thank you for being God and being our Father. We thank you, God, that you're so merciful that you're not willing that any should perish. And you were even merciful before the flood, Lord. You gave the command to be fruitful and multiply, to populate the earth so that your image could be reproduced. But instead, your image was devalued. Your image was marred. And out of love, you destroyed the world, grown-ups and children. And there were no children in the ark, Lord. Help us, Lord, this day. In our homes, we may prepare our families to be saved. We pray for them, the prodigal, Lord. We pray for them, but what have we done to prepare them? Forgive us for our sins, our trespasses, and our iniquities. And help us to be ready, Lord, because Jesus is coming, and he's coming for his people who have kept the commandment and have the faith of Jesus. These things we ask in the worthy name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sister Pat, for reviewing to us the principles from the Spirit of Prophecy and from God's Word on how we should raise our children in the nurture and admonition of our Lord. And our prayer is, we don't take them out of this world, but take them from this world. It's now time for our question and answer and comments. If anybody has questions, please star 6 your line. Okay, area code 470. Please announce your name and where you're calling from. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, now you're unmuted.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yes. Mano?
Yeah, so the sister... This is Sister Rama calling from Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So the sister was talking about how to properly raise your children and stuff like that. I agree with it, but it's kind of confusing because it's like, so then what are Adventist kids supposed to do, you know, without having college? How are you supposed to reach that next level? That next level, such as being able to provide for yourself and your family and things like that, without going to the worldly colleges? Because even our colleges, they're worldly, but you know, it's still better. You know, so what I was saying, it's still better because, you know, it's still a part of the faith. So that's better in a way. So, but it's like, if you're saying then kids to the worldly college, then kind of then like, what is supposed to be the next step for Adventist kids after high school? Like, are we supposed to be like the Amish, whereas, you know, full-time ministry, self-sufficient, you know, if you guys could just elaborate a little bit more on that, that would be helpful.
Mr. Pat? Are you muted? Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Pat.
Oh, thank you for that question. And that is a legitimate question. And I thank God for providing answers from his word and from counsel. As God's people, he has not left us without a plan. And the first law of heaven is order. And God said, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord." I ask this question all the time. How many of God's people have read the book Education? Because that book is the book from A to Z to tell you how to educate your children, how to train your children to be useful in this world and to be independent thinkers and not thoughts of other men, and to have a trade to be self-supporting. I miss it. I really do. When I ask the audience, how many have read the book Education? I ask listeners, how many have you read the book Education? Because if you have read it, God, and he uses nature, duck school. How do ducks teach their children? The ducklings are always with mother duck. She never sends them to chicken to learn how to be a duck. So as Christians, we send our children to chicken school expecting them to be ducks. That goes against nature.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we were to learn, it says every Israel boy was to learn a trade. Our children don't even know how to even pick up a broom now, because parents say, "Oh, I had to do that, so I don't want my child to do it." No, God has laid out the plan. It is there for us to read it. And I'll tell you, I went to one of our schools of the prophets. I went to Oakwood. I learned more about the world, and this was 40 years ago, than I did about Jesus. Now, you can find Jesus there, but you can't find Jesus there now. I'm telling you. And it was a thing, send your child. I said, I homeschooled my son. I said, I would never send him there. And, you know, my friends say, well, it's just the heritage. No, our children is the heritage of God, not a university or a college. And it says when the world has entered our institutions, we are to sell them. She said it is better to send them to it than the worldly, but she says when the world has entered in, sell it and start over. So I encourage you to read the book Education. Read it from cover to finish, and you will know what plan God has set up for us to live in this world. I got a degree in accounting. Mm-hmm. I do midwifery, having gone to one medical college, and I work for the Lord, and he supports me.
Amen.
It's really hard to, well, how to train our children in the right way and send
them. How is it hard? Because then we're saying God is not fair. God is a fair God. The problem is not God. It is us. We have set up where God has told us not to set up. We live in the cities where he said to raise your children, because, see, we think we're raising children to stay here on earth. We're to be preparing for heaven along with our children, but we want to stay here on this earth.
Amen.
If God has failed, then I'm serving the wrong one, but God has not failed.
Okay. Does that inspire you, Sister Roma?
Yes, I did begin to read the book of Education, but I will start back. Thank you so much for that response.
Thank you.
We have another caller, Sister Joanna Maraj from Fresno, California. Go ahead, please. Oops. Let me unmute you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your message. And I just do want to put my two cents in that indeed it's so sad what is happening with all of us just as a church, and we are human, but I must say I have been blessed by messages that I have heard from people who have received training at Oakwood. So while indeed our facilities are being infiltrated by demonic forces, of course, as we as individuals are as well. That's how Satan will gain a great victory. But certainly God can still use these institutions while they are up to be a blessing to those in attendance and to those who they come in contact with. So hopefully the Holy Spirit can still shine through what these evil influences that are taking place on our campus. They can still be used while they are up and running to God's glory. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that comment, Sister Joanna. Okay, do we have any more questions? Okay, if we have prayer requests, did you hear, Sister Pat, that Brother Ron Nyport was admitted to the hospital in Hattiesburg with a stroke?
Oh, no, I did not. No, I did not.
And I think his left side is she just told us this morning. And please, okay, Joanna, we have a sister who, well, let's pray for the Jerry Salvador's family. He lost his wife.
Who did?
Jerry Salvador. Sheila. Sheila, they took her off the life support yesterday because she's been vegetable anyway since I understand from Tuesday. She has aneurysm in her, the base of her brain, and the option is if they operate on her, she will either be paralyzed or blind or dead. So there's no option. The option is really bad. But she fell at home. They've been looking at her for a long time, for a while. She fell at home and she became unconscious and she never gained consciousness. Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that. You know, I wanted to kind of mention, you know, Daniel and the Hebrew boys went into captivity, not of their own doing, but they were trained at home, and they went to the University of Babylon, and they proved to be 10 times smarter than the others. But one thing that's different about them, they kept God first and foremost in their life, that when the image of the beast came, the three that were there refused to worship the God, the image.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Again, by beholding, we become changed, but because it was instilled in them in their childhood, they stood firm. It doesn't happen overnight. And God will only place us where we're to be a light, but if not to become changed. And most Christians, I'll give this percentage that the world has taken. It says most Christians who attend university, 70% of the young people leave Christianity.
Amen. Yep.
And I know many Adventist young people who have left, and some have claimed to become atheists because that's what's taught in those schools. Mm-hmm. Even our own schools, when I was in biology, we're reading evolution, and one person said, "Teacher, are we supposed to be learning this?" And he said, "Oh, well, we're kind of dance around this." No. In the book Education, it says every subject should be from the Bible. The Bible should be the subject, how the subject should be taught. So in these last days, to send our children to be in debt for student loans, please show that to me. It says, owe no man anything. And that's why many of our young people are going to the world, because so many are in debt that they say, "Sister Pat, I can't work for the Lord because I got a $60,000 loan." If that is God's will, then I guess I don't know the same God that some are listening or serving. I don't.
Yeah.
Same here. I have a $20,000 loan from Oakwood University. I started medical missionary school. I had to drop out because they kept calling me to pay those loans.
See, and I can share this with you. I know people who have stepped out in faith who had loans, and I'm telling you, some way God wiped that loan as paid. They are doing the work. See, God knows those whose heart really want to work for him, because if he says the laborers are few and he has people who want to work for him, he becomes our debt, but we don't trust him. But I tell people, prove him. Prove him.
Thank you. I see Sister Pat Charles. Please limit our comments to our questions to 2 minutes on account of our time. We are on 8 past our time. Go ahead, Sister Pat.
Yes, good morning. Hi, my phone is giving trouble, so I didn't hear the beginning, but the little I heard, I thank God for the information. And I need prayers for Brother Darwin Bennett from the Philippines. That God will open doors for the place he talk about in the country, in the deep remote part, that people will send food for those Adventists to the stuff eating pig and they'll get a pasture. And for Darwin's ministry, people will remember the Senate donation. And for Ruth Jones, missionary in Trinidad, that mission post that we have, that her son Dee and Duncan will get off this month, because she have a better place in the country, which will be great when I go down there. So pray that Dean will leave and not give his mother any trouble so she can purchase this country mission post so we can move from one place to the next. And also, we need some help in packing and lifting some stuff this weekend for the Lord to work a miracle and for me to get my glass fixed today. The boy break my side mirror. And I heard he could get a ticket. I pray that I get it fixed today, and that God will keep my car, because I have lots of work to do for his cause. And for Murray, who is going to Haiti, a missionary, that she will get all the things she needs. Her husband threw away everything. She gave up teaching, went to Tennessee, studied for a year, came back to go to Haiti. There's no electricity where she's going, but I thank God for the courage and the strength she has to decide to go despite what the family is saying. So for the Lord to open doors for her. And for Sister Deborah, who is here from Senegal, that God will open doors this weekend. She will get a few little things she brought to sell so she can have some money to go back next week. She's doing a mighty work in Senegal among the Muslims there. So pray for Sister Deborah. Also, and for Connie, that God will open doors for her in the Arizona area. She has many challenges, and for strength and courage that she will be able to pursue despite what the church is not supporting her with her drive as the health person. But for God to help her also with the land, that God will open doors, and for her father to change the will to something that she will have to go to court when he dies. And for Bill Miller to stay away because she's going to use the money to further the cause. Pray for Connie for strength and direction, and for her not to be in depression, to trust the Lord for all things. Thank you. And
thank you, Sister Pat.
For your success as you make your trip, and Katiana. And I hope that I'll be able to get some names to send to you, that you could check out these people. For me, I've been to Tanzania a couple of times. Lovely. You don't want to come back.
I know. I love Africa. So every time I hear Africa, I thank you. I thank you, Pat. You know, also, I'm gonna make my closing. Oh, do you have anybody else in the queue?
I don't have anybody else. Okay.
I thank God for his counsel. And it says anything we need to know, we go to the law and testimony. And I praise God. Someone sent me while I was here on the phone a quote. Based on a comment that was made, and I'm reading from Christian Educator, August 1, 1897. This is from the pen of inspiration. I must tell you from the light given me by God, I know that much time and money are spent by students in acquiring a knowledge that is as chafe to them, for it does not enable them to help their fellow men to form characters that will fit them to unite with saints and angels in the higher school. In the place of crowding youthful minds with a mass of things that are distasteful and that in many cases will never be of any use to them, a practical education should be given. Time and money are spent in gaining useless knowledge. The mind should be carefully and wisely taught to dwell upon Bible truth. The main object of education should be to gain a knowledge of how we can glorify God, whose we are by creation and by redemption. The result of education should be to enable us to understand the voice of God. Again, when we truly understand true education, this aim, its purpose, its objective, we will understand what it takes to have our children on the ark, in the ark of safety, and not miss out on the ark as happened during Noah's time.
Okay, so we're ready to step back for our closing prayer.
Thank you. And I want to thank all those who reached out and donations for the Tanzania trip. I will be leaving the 25th of February. And just keep me in prayer because I won't be back until March 31st. So I won't be back on the line probably until April. So pray my strength in the Lord along with Katiana and Sister Maria who will be traveling with me, and that God may be glorified. For those who don't go to Africa, I tell you, are to go out and spread this gospel. God has a work for all of us to do. And if you don't go, then, and I'm not asking for any money anymore, but we're to support the work. We buy clothes, we do this, but when it comes to God's work, that's the last thing that is supported. So I thank God for coming through. He always comes through, and if he asks you to go do something, he will always find a way. I'll be praying. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this preparation day in which you have given, and we thank you, Lord, for your instructions you have given to train and to finish this work, an army of youth, Lord, a generation of youth to receive a training according to your principles. And we know that your lesson plan has been laid out, and it is our responsibility to raise a generation who will preserve the truth that contains the final message of the truth and pass it on to their children. I pray, Lord, those that have heard this message will truly seek your face, Lord, that we will not give any homage to the enemy. We are no match for him, but Lord, you are. Lord, you're the great physician. You heal. Your healing way is made available so that this earth may know it, Psalm 67:2. And Lord, as your people, we're to know it. Forgive us for where we have disobeyed your health laws, Lord. And we know that the enemy can attack us, as he did Job. But Job stood firm. He used the natural remedies. And he said, though you slay me, yet will I serve the Lord. His wife said, curse you and die, but he called her a foolish woman. And many times people give us things to do, but if it cannot glorify God, Lord, we know it is not of you. Be with the young listeners, Lord. Help them to know that you have a work for them to do, that you can wipe out all their debt. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord. Be with those who are bereaved, Lord. I've heard of people who died this week, young people, 35-year-old niece of a friend of mine and a wife, and Lord. But many are being put to sleep, Lord, because many will not be able to even stand in that great day. So, Lord, out of your mercy, you know what is best. And even though we may have sorrow, it says, precious are the saints that die in you. Lord, let us look to you, the only wise God, approach our Sabbath day, may we enter it undefiled, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And pray for, and Lord, you know all our petitions. I don't know the causes of what has happened to this person or what's going on, but you do. And according to your will, Lord, grant what has been asked, if you can be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Pat, for this beautiful message you have heard this morning. And we look forward to hearing from you again. Well, it's going to be in April. We'll miss you. God bless you and your ministry as you go to Africa with your friend Maria and Katriana, that he will give you his protecting hands to keep you from harms and dangers and to do the will of our Father who's in heaven.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As we continue our we encourage everyone to study the scripture diligently daily and to that we may know the truth and avoid deception. And the reference number for this presentation is 1245. And the presentation is available anytime by dialing 712-451-1068. Okay. Our memory verse for this morning is found in this one. Found in Revelation 13:16, and it calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. 17, and that no man may buy or sell, save he that had a mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. We know that these things are happening, are coming very soon to us. So we are admonished to be faithful, keeping that Sabbath day holy, and watching the edges of the Sabbath, and really having a personal relationship with our Lord, so that we can stand the test of time. Our speaker for this tonight is Brother Udi Calvert. And we invite all of you again to tune in at 7 o'clock tonight. For our announcement, the book of the month, Agriculture, the ABC of Education by Brother Jerry Travers, one of our prayer line speakers. This book is about how agriculture teaches us to be servants by learning to serve the planet from germination to harvest. You can listen to Jerry Travers speaks on this line every other Friday morning to learn more about the book. The cost is $13 plus shipping. To get the book, call 203-686-1425. Thank you. Brothers Craig and Sister Nancy Messner of the End Time Preparation Ministry will be at Central Filipino Church in March to conduct a seminar on end time disaster preparedness, both spiritual and physical preparation. All the people who are around here in Glendale, California, in Glendale, Hollywood, and Los Angeles are invited to come, or anybody who's interested to disaster preparedness. All our presentations are available anytime at our website at cfwplm.org, and edited replays also broadcasted at swmradio.com 2 times a day. For questions, information, email us at soca@prayerlinealert@gmail.com. Please stay faithful, keep watching, keep praying, and working with us until Jesus comes. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers 6:24-26. And this is the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, committed to preparing God's people for the soon second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all, and I'm sure we are all blessed with the message. And happy preparation. We'll see you again tonight at 7 o'clock. Have a good day, brothers and sisters. Thank you for tuning in.